we continue, we start Betzem, the Halachos of Basar V'Cholov, which we want to try be mevar from the Makar HaDvorim, where it comes from Betzem, until all the shaylos that we have, the Maisa, Be'ika, the shaylos that are nageya mainly to Bochrim in a Dira, in a kitchen, that are dealt with on a day to day basis. So Betzem, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Tes brings down a pasuk over there. That certain foods that a person eats are metame his lane. And it's a tremendous yesod and a very important nekuda that a person knows. And ba'etzim it's mevor in the chinuch. The chinuch says, and it's kva yadua says the chinuch, that what a person puts into his mouth causes his body to be healthy. If he puts good things into his mouth, he'll be healthy. If he does not put good things into his mouth, then he won't be healthy. As those who were in the chinuch lemaisa, and we know that the inyan of eating Torah things, when we say Torah, we mean kosher things, whatever it may be, whatever it refers to, has a direct effect on a person's heart. Betamtum alei is the lashon be'etzem used. Betamtum alei. What does it mean, betamtum alei? There was a maisa once with the chasam sofer, that a parents once came to the chasam sofer, and they asked the chasam sofer, tell us, we have a shayla like this. We have a son that needs to go into a certain institution. And in this institution, they serve treifa food. So is it mutter, is it asr to go along and put our child into such a matzav? So Chasam Sofer thought about it and he said, Be'etzem, it's mutter. No problem. Zundach Chasam Sofer, it will not help. Why not? Because he said, because they're serving treifa food. And in the serving tray for food, the be'etzem shomer, the heart, the lay, is going to be timtum. The meal is not going to help. It's a tremendous yisrei for a person to remember why we're dealing with these halachas. This is why I felt it was important to discuss the halachas of kashrus. The halachas that have to go to the kitchen on a gear for every single bocha, for every single person when he gets married, Be'ez Hashem, the same thing, that he has to know. That every single person is mechuyev to make sure that what goes into his mouth is 100% Torah, is 100% kosher. And the slightest thing that a person can do wrong can turn it from a Torah to a Tomei. So let's go through Be'ez Hashem, the Inyonim, and we'll speak out how it's negated to the kitchen. So the Makor HaDvorim, the Basar V'Cholov, we know, is a pasuk in the Torah, it's written three times. Lo Sava Shal Givi Bachalev Imoi. One shall not cook a kid in its mother's milk. This is the Makor in the Torah for such an Issa. This is the Makor. Now we know it says it three times. Why does it say it three times in the Torah? The answer is, because one is to teach us you're not allowed to cook it, one is to teach us you're not allowed to have an offering, and the other one is to teach us you're not allowed to actually eat it. Why is Basar V'Cholov Asur? What's the reason why it's Asur? So the Etzem has many, many reasons brought down. One of the reasons is Avodah Zorah, that's the Rambam. Rambam says that I used to serve Mamash Avodah Zorah with Basar V'Cholov. Another one in Italian, it's like Shatnas. We know that we're not allowed to wear anything with Shatnas in it. It's a mixture of two things that the Rabbeinu Shalom did not let us mix. The Rebbe took that. It's the same thing with Basar V'Cholov. Hashem told us, don't mix meat and don't mix milk. I'll be so this other inyonim that meat is din and cholov is rachamim. You don't mix the din and rachamim together. And you look at the Zohar, I've always said the Zohar is extremely scary. The Zohar says very, very scary things for people that eat Basar V'Cholov together. It's a very, very scary yesod for a person to know that the Zohar says, Mamash, he goes to his chayim for 40 days and if he has a child, it's Mamash a terrible thing. And maybe a person has to be very, very, very careful what he eats. Now, there are other reasons. Rabbeinu Bachaya, for example, brings a reason. He says, Be'etzem, there's no reason for it. You don't know. And like when the Be'ez Hashem or Mashiach will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell us the reason. I go to Rabbeinu Bachaya. Okay. One last nekuda, how important it is to learn these halachas, is the Medrash. The Medrash in Tehillim brings down, Chasam Sofer says it's very stark. Says the Medrash like this. We know Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai the second time to get the Luchos. Now when he came up to Shemayim, all the Malachim got together and said, hey, Rabbeinu Shemayim, you can't give this guy the Torah. Why not? Because they just didn't have the Torah. They just bowed down to this little cow over there. You can't give them the Torah. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say back to them? He said, hold on a minute. When you guys went down to visit Avraham Avinu, to Rebecca Cholim, the three Malachim over there, the pasuk says, and you ate milk and you ate meat. What's going on? You guys ate Basar V'Cholov. You guys can't eat the Torah. Later they had no answer. And if they had no answer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Torah. From here you see that the Klal Yisrael Mekabel Torah Sinai. Why? Because we kept Asa B'Cholim. It's a Zachos Shubi Yisrael, Lom Again Baito. Now, people get scared. You mentioned Asa B'Cholim, right? Horai, we see the group has diminished. Asa B'Cholim is a little bit scary. Not going to get it to me. What spoons, Ben Yomans, Ain't Ben Yomans. So I once discussed with Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, and he told me, I'm going to give Sheva Bochim, should I do Shabbos, Basav Cholim. So he told me, Kro, a bad Basav Cholim is very important, I feel it for Bochim, and that's why I decided the Etzim to do it now, and I did the first step most of it, we gave Sheva on it. So we know again, the Torah tells us, Los Vashel Gedi Bachalev Imoy, you shall not cook meat and milk. Now it says it three times, like we said. One is to teach us the Issa to cook them together, we can explain each one. One is to teach us the Issa to eat them together, and the other one is to teach us the Issa to have hanor from it. So number one, what does it mean? What does it mean to cook them together? So poshup shat means to take milk and meat and cook them together. Now Rabbi said this means a few of it does not belong to you. It's again, somebody once asked me if he's allowed to be a chef in a certain restaurant where they cook basar b'chol of mamish. And I said, it doesn't make an afkamina whether you're going to eat it or you're not going to eat it. So to so, you are cooking meat and milk, yeah.
How did Avraham Avinu serve the malachim?
So the stipend has the terrorists ready in Bechus Peretz. It was the time that there was fire in their mouth. What fire in their mouth? There's a shayla where there was a sefer tzira and it wasn't really basa. It was only they say the tzira and the basa. There's terutzim for it. There's terutzim. But the story that some soif is telling us, that we'll see by the way in some pretest, actually they did the milk first. The Loshna Apostle, because they did the milk and then the meat.
What was the time of the
very good. That's something we'll get to when we get to the if we get to pretest, we'll get to that shayla. Now, the Etzer, what does Bishul mean? I once got an email from a certain boy in university in America. So he asked me as follows. He said to me very often, he goes to the cafeteria, and there's a microwave over there. And he wants to know, often the guy says to him, do me a favor, here's my sandwich, can you heat up the microwave? So he asked me, am I allowed to do such a thing? So what's the shayla? Shayla's the point of the shayla. We don't know what this guy has in his sandwich. Maybe he has salami and cheese.
Really cooked.
No, it's not cooked. And I'm going to put it in the microwave. I said, oh no, you're going to tell me. Let me know. Hey, Rabbi, come on. Bishol, doesn't he have a microwave? There's no fire in a microwave. Now, you obviously should know the shadow was discussed with Moshe Feinstein, the God of Lador. And Rav Moshe says, come on. Said Rav Moshe, you're right. Right now, it's when Rav Moshe wrote the Tshuva. A microwave, again?
Bishol.
No, there's no Bishol, that's when they want to tighten. There's no Bishol, there's no heat, there's no fire. An electric oven has a flame, kilu, inside. A microwave does not. Comes along with Moshe and he says, no, right now you're right. Nobody cooks in a microwave. But with Moshe, a time will come where people will be cooking in a microwave just like an oven. And Kachavet, Baruch Hashem, and Novi with Moshe. And clearly we know that people cook things in a microwave. And the Maisa, according to Reva Poiskim, a bishul in a microwave is a din d'oraisa. Anything that's a din d'oraisa is also to have any hanor. You're not allowed to have a hanor on such a thing. Because if you have a hanor, it's us. It's negated, by the way, by shares. People have shares in different companies. And these companies have basar b'cholim in them, like McDonald's, for example, big shayla. And the mele, you're having hanor from basar b'cholim. Because you own shares in the company. It's a big shayla. It's not a shayla for now to discuss in public. Of about Etzim, that's the Inyan. Now, I received a letter, actually not so long ago, after the book. I got a lot of letters. One of the letters was like this. Is he allowed to put a tablecloth inside a washing machine with another tablecloth that has milk? Again, two tablecloths, one with milk, one with meat. You put them in the washing machine together, and in the washing machine is boiling hot water. He says to me like this, it's cooking basar b'cholim, right? Cooking basar b'cholim. Oh my God, it's water. Why is it water? Because this is not semet full derech bishul. This is not how people cook. Nobody cooks this way. Plus you have the soap inside, also the washing machine. Plus other reasons as well. You have zdomeh shishim, and vayter and vayter. So that's very big you say this well there also, of basar b'cholim. Now, Hanor means, and this is very crucial, because sometimes a person gets to a shayla basar b'cholim, for example, he makes himself a cheese omelette, and he takes a meat spatula that has been used in the last 24 hours for hot meat, and he turns over the cheese omelette. What he did was an issa min ha-Torah of basar b'cholim. He's just been mevasho basar b'cholim. So what does he do with the cheese omelette? So out of the pan has to be kashered, ayin shom, over with the omelette, have an issa to throw it out. There's no other way. Right, in Shulchan Aruch, you've got to bury it, mamish. There's no way of getting out of it, because you have to have no Hanor whatsoever. So I remember, I was once in Hanor, and I was discussing with the Moshe Shtambach Shlita, the following Shaila, and I asked him like this. I said, how about, and so everybody knows there's cats all over the place. Mamish, everywhere's cats. So I asked him, can I put my garbage with my cheese omelette inside the garbage can and back outside? I said, hey, a cat's going to get it. I'm going to have hanos from it. So he took me like this and he pushed me like this, mamish. He says to me, ah, I wish you better hanos than that. That's not called a hanos. You don't know when that's going to happen. Maybe, yeah, maybe no. Look at that. I'll tell you, right, you'll see another argument I had with Moshe Derbeck about something else. Oh, but Be'etzim, you have to know, it's Issa Hanor. When a person does something, he sticks in the wrong spoon into the wrong Michael, is an Issa Hanor Mamish. A person not allowed to Hanor from that food.
Your own cash to begin with, so.
Again.
You have to own it.
Ooh, very good. The Taz says, Mufurash and Simitari Dalut, that I feel if you don't own it, it's awesome. I'll bring you a raya. What's my raya? When I take my kids to the zoo, what happens? State Mufurash of that big notice. Don't feed the monkeys. Right? What are all the kids doing? Feeding the monkeys. Excuse me. It's not your monkey. What are you busy feeding it for? Geschmack! I like it!
Grandma's.
I'm feeding a monkey. Why? Because I'm just stuck!
Throw in the garbage and the cat.
That's what Mr. Stumbles tells me. That's why it's supposed to. You don't have to worry. Okay. Now, a person also has to know that the only issue of Basav Cholov is when both of them are kosher. When one of them is straight, when one of them is a tomei animal, a non-kosher animal, there's no issa basabal cholov to cook it. That's a big shiloh when you get to McDonald's. For example, if they have a tomei meat, then there will be no issa to put the cheese on top of the meat over there, because that's not basabal cholov. Masha ain't game. Most McDonald's, what do they serve? They serve a regular minced meat that comes from a cow. Now, it happens to be that cow that they're serving was never shafted. It was shot in the head. Remember, that's an aveira. To cook an aveira, issa min ha-toyroch. Shalom Anah, we pass in the Maisa to be awesome. Now, there are many, many Xavers in Basav HaCholov. Mamish, many, many, many Xavers. I asked once with Bezul Orbach, I said, what is the Pshat over here? What is the Pshat? So many Xavers eating together on the same table, 6 hours, 4 hours. So many Xavers! So he said to me like this. He said, you know why? Because the Torah saw that there are so many times that the Torah wrote a Pasuk of Basav HaCholov, and therefore, Chazal saw how chashuv this issa was, and they decided to add other issurim also as a gedder, as a fence that a person should not get to real basav cholov. That's what he told me. So there's one gzeir. We're going to discuss a couple of gzeirs, and then we'll get to the ikkar shaylos of the ovens, some of the microwave shaylos, and the stoves also.
What's considered asur hanah?
Asur hanah only if it was mevushal. If you took a meat and a milk and you cooked them together, either in a microwave or oven, that would be issa doraisa of basav cholov. Like we said, in that frying pan, you took the cheese omelette and you flipped it with the wrong knife, and that wrong knife was used in the last 24 hours for meat. That means you took a meat and you mixed it with a milk, you cooked them, that's issa min ha-toyroch of basav cholov. You've got to check it out. Yeah?
Can you feed your pets?
No, Asagoma feed your pets.
If you don't make it,
Asagoma, Kanavano, not like a Kanavano, you have a because you wouldn't have to feed your pet with other food. Yeah?
So you asked if you throw it in the dumpster, what
did
you ask?
I asked if you throw it in the dumpster because you know the cats are going to get it.
So what's that? You like the cat?
Because they get a geschmack and the cat eats the food. Very geschmack for me. What a ride in the zoo. But, okay. Now we know there's a xera that a person is not allowed to eat meat within a certain amount of milk. And then a certain amount of time of meat, right? Now, in the Gemara, we never find such a thing 6 hours. Where does this thing come with 6 hours? In the Gemara, it says, Klah, that they used to wait, one of them used to wait 24 hours. Can you imagine everybody say, 24, one of the Rebbes that used to say, whenever he wanted to eat something, give me some meat. And they said, hey, you know, you're a Rebbe, you're a Chashmayid, you're always meat, what's Peshat, always meat. He said, no, because when I eat meat, so I feel that I'm not allowed to eat milk. I'm Meshubba to Hashem. I'm Meshubba to a Bani Shulayla for 6 hours. Oh, that's a Meshubba Tach. Then I feel good. And Mamela, we know that the Gzeira over there in the Gemara was what? You like that one?
Teddy rap.
Now the Maisa, we know that in the Gemara it does not say 6 hours. It doesn't say this man at all. What does it say in the Gemara? Su'uda, the Su'uda. That means you have to wait from one meal to the next meal. That's before over there, for all the Rishonim, as I said before in Shulchan Aruch, that 6 hours was be'erach this man that they used to wait between one Suda and one Suda. That's the reason why we wait 6 hours. Now, rather than other minhagim, I'm not going into the different minhagim now, everyone has to follow his be'etzem personal minhag, Ein Shom. But a person has to know. In certain situations, we are makel, like Gabi Echoyle, for example, and all different situations, like Gabi Kids for sure, we can definitely be more makel in that situation. Kvaya do the Maisa, I'm sure everybody here knows the Maisa, with the Bocha, about Shum, I think he was, who came to Chaim Kanievsky. I said this over last time, he came to Chaim Kanievsky, and he wanted a Shiruch. And Chaim Kanievsky said to him, Loisa Vasa Gadim, Achalei Nimoy. He said, huh? That's Bosa Vacholov, I wanted a Shiruch. No, no, no. So he came out to the Mavar, what happens? And Chaim Kanievsky said, Poshut, as though state in Zaya! The Zaya Kodesh is clear! That if a person is not careful in Bosa Vacholov, he looks like a Gadim. He says, Poshut, this guy looked like a Gadim. What's the Shaila? He looked like a Gadim, Poshut. And they found that after this Bacha was taken on in Israel in waiting 6 hours after meat. No, that's the reason I was going before in Chaim Kanievsky. Now, it's interesting, a Bacha, I've ended up on this yeshiva, once asked me if you're allowed to smoke Megillah, I think it's called Megillah, right?
Hookah.
Within 6 hours of meat, if you put milk inside it, look at there exactly, but that's what they say of Shmuah going around, that if you put the milk inside, makes it more gishmak, I think, makes it thicker, look at there exactly, the machlek is in the bochum, or the ba'esim, it's a shayla. So, the esim is a mesoris ha-shas, in ksubas tav zayin omad aleph, who brings the shin of a rebbe. And this Shin of the Rebbe over there is Mubar, that he had a type of cigarette or something, and the light was on Yom Tov about that, but he was lighting the cigarette from a chaylev. A chaylev is an issazah, and a chaylev candle, and he wanted to light his cigarette from a chaylev candle. So he said over there, I'm not doing it. Why? Because he was getting hanor from the chaylev of the candle, which is asa. Chaylev is asa. Now, the Menchas Yitzchak, Dain Weiss from the Badats, here's a whole tshuva similar to this, and the Maisa Alpi his tshuva, I came out to be Mako, for the simple reason, that's not called Derech Achila. That's not when you take some smoke inside your mouth, that's not called eating anything, that's about this mutter. Who had in the Shire was once asked, I think in the Shay, are you allowed to smell Basa B'chalim? Or are you allowed to smell milk within 6 hours of meat? It's about it, by Pesach, by the way, much more machme. Oh, my Basa B'chalim, the Basa B'chalim can be Mako. Because by Esam, there's no, it's not called an Achila, that's not called an Issam, and that's
well,
the mutter.
Again,
no, but Hanok. Yeah, but again, it's like eating it.
I heard
not eating it within 6 hours.
I heard it's not
safe because
it's
been
like...
So how come you can't feed it to your pet?
Special what?
Like spit out of your mouth so you shouldn't like taste it.
You smell it. Yeah. There, show
what
your advantages are.
So how come you can't feed it to your pet?
No, that's because it's already cooked. You can't have honor. That's why. It wasn't cooked. It was separate. I've eaten meat and I want to smell milk. That's separate. Bye, Joe, by side. Oh, you're right. 15 more minutes. Okay, we've got to move. We've got to move, by side. Right, I'm going to move on, so we'll do questions after the Pasha. We've got 15 minutes to fly to the rest of 10 Simonim and Shulchan Aruch. It takes my cousin about a year to do the whole thing. We're going to do it in like 15, 20 minutes. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, come on. There is another Issa. If a person ate milk, is he allowed to now go along and eat meat? Send the Shulchan Aruch, Havana! You don't have to wait. There's nothing you have to wait after eating milk or cheese. Now, that some people have the mimic, I'll pee the Zoya, 2.5 hours. We're not going into the mimic right now. Of a person has, Hachin, we'll get to. Of a person has to know, if a person has a coffee, or a person has a piece of chocolate, and he wants to go along and have a steak, right? Come on, look at steak. What do you have to do? Kinuach, hadacha, and netila. Kinuach means to use something, powder, to wipe out your mouth, let it be a cookie, let it be rice and potato chips, whatever it may be, cannot be green vegetables, it cannot be dates, it cannot be flour, and you have to wash out your mouth. I asked once with the Zul Oba, I said, can I brush my teeth? Said, I'm out of, but you still have to wash out your mouth. And also, in the Tzidah Zedam, it's possible to wash your hands, because maybe you've got some cheese on your hands, and maybe the cheese on your hands is going to go to the meat. You have to be very careful. Now, people do not do this. I never saw somebody do this. I never saw anybody for me, but hey, I got out, you know what I'm doing? Right, the Olam knows. On a Friday night, for example, we have a schnapps, right? So people think, it's an excuse for Yidden to get drunk. Chas v'shalom. Mimik klal Yisrael, everything is within the Makar. Mimela, where did it come from? It's an offer to Shulchan Aruch! In Yeridea, some kuf tezayin on the base. Send the Shulchan Aruch over there, poshut. That was, you have to do kinuach and adoga in between fish and meat. Fish and meat, mama, sakona gedoyla. Sakona gedoyla. You should know, by the way, the whole printing error. Now, it came in the base system. Right over there. You know how to have bagels and lax. With cream cheese. Bagels, lax, and cream cheese. As I stated before, in the base system. Huh? I got him a bagel, lax, and cream cheese. Took the head of a shark. Took the head of a tongue. Took some soy. Took the rambam. Took the pescatuba. Everybody says it's a printing error. He meant fish and meat. That's the problem. Fish and milk? My way out. Once in a restaurant, I think I'd have a piece of pizza with tuna on it. You know? Who? You're not allowed pizza with tuna? Say, hey, call Mashkech in here right now. I need to go tell him something over here. It's possible there's no Indian at the call. I've heard this been hugging with persons a mimic. For example, a lot of spadim are backing me this way. Or with the etzim of a person, I don't see him also. But if the etzim of a person is not of a mimic, he's allowed 100% to have bagels, lox, and cream cheese. We'll have to do with the questions after. Push, we've got to do. Okay. Kinoch Hadocha and Netila. Now, hard cheese, I'm not going into the shittas right now, but a person has to know, with Aaron Cutler in America, right, and many places in America say that hard cheese that you have to eat 6 hours is only a cheese that you need a hakmasa. What's a hakmasa? A sewer. If it's so hard and you need a sword to cut it, that's hard cheese. Anything that's not sick with Aaron is not hard cheese. Remember, according to most places in America, you can be maker on most of the hard cheese over there. In Eretz Yisrael, we find most of the places are machmir, and they hold a thing of the gvinatzu huva. That's the little soft bit. That's the value you have to be machmir. And in Eretz Yisrol, a lot of places come over. Scheinberg, Baruch Hashem, told us that if you have a pizza, and even if you're machmir with hard cheese, and the pizza has melted cheese on it, this habada, you can be maker. Let me get back to our boy's side. Sitting on the same table, very, very, very nageya. When I had a bachur once call me up, he told me, I'm eating a shawarma, and everyone else is eating cheese and pasta or whatever. Mutra or asa. Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to sit on the same table, one person eating meat, one piece of milk. Why not? You might borrow some french fries from him. Now, however, we know, if you have a hekla in between, a hekla meaning something of substantial height that's in between you, it's going to remind you, that's about the mutra, right? Now, somebody once asked me this question, if you have a bench in a park, one guy eating a shawarma, one guy eating a piece of pizza. Mutra asks, I asked this question to Ruchai Kanievsky. Ruchai Kanievsky told me, Mutra, why? There's a table! Chazal only said, you have a table that you're eating from, one meat, one milk, that's when it's a problem. Then there's no table. I asked Ruchai Kanievsky, hey, how about this question? How about you have an aeroplane, right? You have an aeroplane, and the tables are very close together. And I'm sitting meat, my friend over here is sitting eating milk, oh, wait up! So Ruchai Kanievsky, about this, Mutra, why? There's two separate tables. There's about this, Mutra, that's what he told me. Okay. Let me get invited. I've got a fellow came over to me once on the Shabbos morning. So I hear this. Hey, Rabbi! I'm like, oh, gosh, what have I done now? He says, I ate cholent last night. Because I ate cholent last night. Huge bit of cholent, right? Ah, with the meat, with the beef, mummies. I was making other sheets of owning Shabbos. And now, come Shabbos morning, it's been 9 hours of sleep. Ah! 9 hours of sleep since that cholent, yeah? Now I want to have a coffee, right? I've gone to the mikveh, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, now I can start chocolate, but I have to have a coffee. Now, can I have this coffee? I said, why not? Been over 6 hours. He said, no, you don't understand, this is a sad cholent. A sad cholent that I'm burping it up now! I can taste it. I said, no way, it's a bad of its mutter. Chazal told us 6 hours, the fact that you can taste something more than that, that's your problem, it's a bad of its mutter. Let me get back to it. We might have to move over here. Now, within 6 hours, are you allowed to sit next to somebody that's eating milk? For example, if right now I have eaten meat, I'm not allowed to eat milk for 6 hours. Am I allowed to sit next to somebody else that is eating milk? It's about his mother, because I'm not eating right now. Only when two people are eating together, that's when it's a problem. And I have to mention another thing over here. I remember one time, after I ate some meat, so when you have to eat stringy meat, what happens to stringy meat? It gets caught in your teeth. So what happens? 3 hours later, you go, that's nice, and you swallow it! What was that? That was meat! You swallowed meat? Ooh. Sitters! So I went downstairs to Rabbi Scheinberg Shlita. And I asked Rabbi Scheinberg, she told me, nah, say the Gomor. Say the Gomor. You have to go from the original time. It was such a little shtickle. This about the Nitzah's ranks from the round this way, put down the Shach and Petesi base. Okay. Last thing, and then we move on to the real Shiders. All right. The Shmet. Maras Ha'ayin. In those days, it was Jadua that they used to take almond milk and they used to cook almond milk with chicken. Right, now almond milk looks like it's regular milk. So what they used to do, they took the almond and they put it right next to it to show the owner, Rabbi Isaac, this is not milk, this is almond milk. Ah, he's not cooking boss of a hollow, he's a good yid, long again baita. However, how's this again? To ask extremely again, says with Paj with the head of Kadaski in England. He says, Mary the Krishna Eva brings it down. That the mice of a person has a vegetarian schnitzel. That looks like a regular schnitzel. And he wants to put a slice of cheese. Maybe someone's going to think he's eating basa no chala. So we're passing the hole. Because something that's so normal, that everybody eats, like an Eretz Yisrael, so do you see a schnitzel? Must be vegetarian, right? It's not going to be real. In America, I'm not so sure. Of an Eretz Yisrael, Mr. Eretz a veggie, not a real thing. And in America, that's why he will be making it such a matter, for who has done the same thing with the coffee creamers. And if you guys know this, very important to know, that you have to know that in America, the law, by law, anything that says a dairy creamer or coffee whitener has to contain real milk. That's the law over there. That's the law over there. That's why you have to be very careful when you buy a parrot or a coffee whitener for your coffee after the meat meal to make sure it's packed with parrot. Okay. Not going to go to the Shabbos and Maris Ein right now. Trying to do up. Most boys can hold it if something is so poshut that it's something like parrot, you don't have to put something on. Okay. No more going biter. A stove. Very, very important. We have a few more minutes. Let's go into the big shiders now with the stoves. There's such a concept like this. Ein kli b'leia mikli below rotate. That means, if I have a pot of boiling hot meat on the stove, next to it I have a pan of boiling hot cheese, and I touch them together from the outside. Everything is dry, nothing overspilled, mutter gomos. No fats in the ramor in shari base simet sivzai. Why? Because when you have two kelim touching each other and there's no moisture in between them, then there's no actual belias. Nothing is going to pass. However, if you have the same scenario with a liquid in between, then you have a problem. Now, this is extremely nogea. Somebody once called me from England. He was moved into a new apartment over there and everything was straight. He said, let it down. I'm going to cash it another time. He said, but right now my wife wants an egg. Right now she wants an egg. What can I do? So I said, very passionate. You have the gas grate, now the gas grate's normally dry. You have a saucepan, the bottom of the saucepan is normally dry. Now, Mela, what do? You put it on! There's no bleed, I don't care if the gas grate was used for trade, the gas grate meaning the chatsubah they call it there. I think I asked also Chai Kineska's choice, it's mazeh chatsubah, do you have mazeh? Or the be'esem, it's the giving that holds the pot on top of the fire, you put the pot on top of it. Now, if it's dry, there's no bleed. Now, the Ramah tells us that lichat chila, you shouldn't be doing such a thing. You're never allowed lichat chila to do it. Why? Because maybe, says the Ramah, maybe it will overspill. Cut down because your chicken soup, right? You bought the chicken soup and it overflows. And if it overflows, there'll be liquid in between. If there's liquid in between two kelim, there's going to be a blia. Comes along with Moshe Feinstein. Says the Moshe, no way, nothing doing. When the Ramah says it's mutter, don't do lechatzchila. He says, no, that's something else. Or with Moshe Paskins, lechatzchila. That a person can put a pot, as long as it's dry, on top of the gas grate that is even used for trade. Now, I must discuss with different poskim, as Dr. Sam Soifa, says here, Shabbat should be machmeh, and I'm going into it now. It's also in a game for a counter. Go to a table, go to a dining room, and the table is full of moisture, full of liquid, and you're going to put something hot on top of that liquid, you're going to cause a blia, you're going to cause absorption from the mamoshes inside the table, inside the food itself, Rabbi, so you could be eating treif mamash. And then he comes in the next day and says, Rabbi, I don't understand tasteless. What's up, charge? Let's talk to my lady! Because last night, what did he eat? Garbage! Why not? Because he did something thing he didn't realize. He put a pot on something else. It causes a blia. A blia is an absorption. There could be bus of a furrow inside it. Minister, that's a big problem. This is what person has to know. When he puts things in hot, there has to be no liquid whatsoever. It's a big, big shayla. Now the Zeya shayla. What's Zeya? The Mishnah in Machshirim tells us that Zeya is kemoisay. What does Zeya mean? Zeya is that nasty fellow called steam. Steam gets everywhere. Steam is revolved when the Rishonim, Shuvah, Habach, and others, that steam is like the food itself. That means, if you have a chicken soup that's steaming, the steam that comes up is the chicken itself. That means it's actual chicken thing. Now what's this going to be a big nothing? You know what? Again?
Spices.
Oh, big, very good. Very good. We have a case like this. Spices. I'm going to take some salt and add it into my chicken soup. Now the zeya goes up on my chicken soup and enters the hole of my salt. That means my salt has just become chicken soup salt. It's as if I just dipped it in. Who has in Rabbi Isai? Those people, when they went to Zach, go to Chulun, and the Chulun is drying up on Shabbos, so what they want to do, they want to add some water in it. So they go take it to the urn, they open up the urn, and all the steam goes, shh, mama's flying up over there. Now this means that the urn has just become meaty. How are you going to eat? Tomorrow you're going to drink a coffee tomorrow with cheese, you got, with milk, you've got yourself a big problem. Now Rabbi Isai, I walked into someone's kitchen one time, I said to him, hey, you got yourself a problem. He said, what? Well, you walk into everyone's kitchen, you see a shulchan aruch here and there. That's how it works. So yeah, why? From the back of the stove, you've got this magnet thing with all the ladles hanging up over there behind the stove. I said, what's going on over here? Every single time you're cooking, the steam is going on and going on and going on. And who knows what's going on? Maybe they're powered, maybe they're milking, they should be wrapping all the tarubas that's going on. Now, the Etzem, you should know, there is a shita to be very, very makeable over here. We have the Etzem Tzoruch HaShulchan with Shayim Bakshlita Paskin this way. And you have to know how to use it. Is that whenever steam has a mokim lispashit, what does that mean? That if steam has a mokim to move, it disperses, it's not in a concentrated area, then what? It's not got the koyach, it hasn't got the strength to impart its taste into something else. And therefore you have to know, in an oven, then you have a big shayla. Because in an oven, it's a concentrated area. If somebody cooks meat in the oven, what happens? The steam goes up, gets absorbed into the oven. You're going to go along and cook yourself and bake yourself and heat yourself up a challah. And this challah is now going to get what? It's going to get the belias from the meat. You want to go along and have your challah with cheese. Are you allowed to or are you not allowed to? This is a tremendous shayla. I was once walking with Rav Moshe Steinberg Shlita on the street. We're walking home together. And the Maisa asked him the following shayla. He said, how about this? Very, very, very common case. You have a challah in the oven, and you have a piece of meat in the oven. Cooking together, Erev Shabbos, very again. I said, what's the halacha with that challah? Do you have to wait 6 hours after the challah? He said, yes. I said, Rabbi Sternbach, I mean, God Lador, but please, explain to me. We know the reason why you have to wait 6 hours after meat is because you have either Basa Ben Shinayim, Shitas Rambam, or you have a tam of meat inside your mouth, grabbing it up, that Shitas Rashi. Now over here, are you telling me, when I eat this challah, I'm going to taste real meat? I said, come on, I don't think so. And the Maestro Baruch Hashem, I found a string of poskim for a maker like me, and they tell you that there's no issue whatsoever, you can't eat it together with cheese, but it's not going to be meaty 6 hours. So a person has to know, when you have an oven, when you have a microwave, and this microwave is dirty, the bleas are there. You're going to put something inside, you're going to eat it with the opposite min, could be basa, v'cholav, mamash. You'll tell me, hey, I'll kasher it. What's the way? You take a cup of water, you put it in, 15 minutes, it's kasher. Rega, please say. You have to know something over here. Every microwave is so different. You know, at the back of the microwave, there's a fan. This fan constantly goes around, and it spreads the heat, it spreads the air. Now, on this fan, I don't know if you ever opened up a microwave, but I did. If you have a fan on the back of the thing, so this fan gets full of particles of either meat or either milk, depending on what it is over there, because all the steam eventually condensates, goes onto the fan, and it sticks there. So you're going to go be a big chuchum, and you're going to take your cup of water, and you're going to go boil it around for 10 minutes. All right, it's kosher, whatever you want. No, chas v'shalom. There could be mamash mamoshes of meat or milk inside the fan itself, and that could be a big, big problem. A person mamash has to know if it's mamash clean or the massive over there. Very, very important. Now, very, very important. Let me get a little bit weiter, 2 more minutes. A person also has to know, with a spoon, people always say one thing. If it's cold, it's pesei de gomel. It's not true. The Olam knows. This is, by the way, one of the icky reasons I wrote my book. It's for the following halacha. It's to know that when you cut an onion with a meat knife, the onion becomes a piece of meat. And a neighbor to use that into milk will be a shayla of an ism in a Torah of Asa v'cholav. Person has to know, when you cut it with a meat knife, has it used the last 24 hours or not? It's a big, big yisoid. And I'll finish with this. Often a person has to remember, a person likes to pass in his own shaylas. Yeah, it's Poseidon, it's Ein Ben Yoimai, it's probably Shishim, it's alright, it's okay. I want to tell you like this, the Rav that's passing the Shaila has an automatic Siyat Deshmaya that nobody else has. I could dekach that the Nitziv in Parshas Pinchas says that what's the reason why a Rav needs to get Smicha? Let him just learn all the Shulchan Aruch, then back in Jairus. No, something in Siyat. When a person gets smicha, he gets a special siyat d'shmaya that somebody that knows all Shulchan Aruch won't get such a siyat d'shmaya. And I've seen this myself many times, of sometimes someone come with this ashayla, and I kept asking him a few more questions, and bang, I got to something that I was never going to have if I wouldn't have even asked him. It's a special siyat d'shmaya. 2 mices like this. The Tzemach Tzedek had a sister, and the sister one time had a shayla with a chicken. So she went to her brother, Tzemach Tzedek, Mamash God Lador, and she said, Rabbi Tzemach Tzedek, my brother, what's the kasha? What's the shayla? He said, what's doing up? So he starts bringing up Gemara's Rambam Shulchan Aruch. Oh, Mamash, a great septil bullshit. He says, "Lady, I don't have a psak." So go to the Rav. So he went to the Rav. Chosav eat up and Nistar Gadol Ador. And the Rav said, "Took out Shulchan Aruch. Look, Shulchan Aruch Shach Muta Vaita." Next, so the Tzemach Tzedek has a Chalishas Hadas. I'm the God of Ladar over here. So he went to the Rav and said, how do you do this thing? He said, you have to realize, and all the lomdas and all the shtickles of Torah, of the Rav gets a special siyat dishmaya that nobody else gets. And listen to this muridika mice in the Chofetz Chaim. You should do the mice in this one. Of it's worth repeating. The Chofetz Chaim had a son, Rabbi Elay. And this son was once asked to be a Rav of a community. And for some reason, the deal fell through, and he wasn't the Rav of the community. And he came back to his father, Chofetz Chaim, and he said, I'm so upset. How come I'm not the Rav of the community? They were going to ask me, it's going to be Geshmak, it's going to be Albury. He said, no, you have to understand. You should be so happy that you're not the Rav of this community, or any community. Because the Rav has a special responsibility that nobody else has. And he says, listen to this mice that happened to him himself. The Chofetz Chaim was one time the Rav of Radin, he's the Paskin Shailas. And somebody once came to the basement with an unbelievable case. What was the case? The case was there was a yid there, a choshev yid, a shochet, and he was serving trade meat, pretending to be kosher meat. And they brought him into Beistin, they had a whole shayla about it, and the maaser there, Chofetz Chaim, gave him a tremendous knas. 20 years later, the Chofetz Chaim was sitting in the Ezra's Noshim, in the shul, learning quietly. Two men came in, very scary faces, and they said, we're here from Shomayim. We have been sent from Shomayim for the following shayla to the Chofetz Chaim. This butcher, 20 years ago, that did that maaser, has now died, he's now in Shomayim. And they're looking at him. Are we going to give him Gehenim, or are we going to give him Gan Eden? So we say, hold on a minute. He did a terrible thing. A terrible thing. But he got a punishment. So we need to ask the Chofetz Chaim, who was the Rav at the time, why did he punish him? Was it a deterrent? Was the reason we gave him the money so he shouldn't do it again? Or was the reason it is an atonement? That he'll be atoned for his Aveira. And the Chofetz Chaim, the Maaser, said it was not an atonement, it was a deterrent of a melee, he was put wherever he was put. Oh, but so the Chofetz Chaim, look at the gallus of a Rav, look at the responsibility of a Rav. A person has to be so careful when he puts anything into his mouth, not to pass in his own shilas and say his own kulas. It's extremely important, we just said the Rosh Hashanah, the Rav said, the Oinim Shabbos Chus, that when a person, the Maaser, is makabal himself to keep these halachos, then when makabal the Torah, but Avon, that's what some Sefer says.